Let's turn now in the scriptures to Matthew and chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. And we'll be reading verses 1 through 51. Matthew 24, verses 1 through 51. And beginning in verse 1, these are God's words. Then Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came up to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said to them, "Do you not see all these things? Assuredly, I say to you, not one stone shall be left here upon another that shall not be thrown down." Now, as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, "Tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" And Jesus answered and said to them, "Take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations. And then the end will come. Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, whoever reads, let him understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let him who is on the housetop not go down to take anything out of his house. And let him who is in the field not go back to get his clothes. But woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing babies in those days. And pray that your flight may not be in winter on the Sabbath. For then there will be great tribulation, such as has not been since the beginning of the world until this time, no, nor ever shall be. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. Then if anyone says to you, 'Look, here is the Christ,' or 'There,' do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. See, I have told you beforehand. Therefore, if they say to you, 'Look, he is in the desert,' do not go out. Or, 'Look, he's in the inner rooms,' do not believe it. For as the lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For wherever the carcass is, there the eagles will be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. And the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven. And then all the tribes of the earth will mourn. And they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet. And they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Now learn this parable from the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So you also, when you see all these things, know that it is near at the doors. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. But of that day and hour no one knows. Not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark and did not know until the flood came and took them all away. So also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Then two men will be in the field. One will be taken, the other left. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken, the other left. Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Who then is a faithful and wise servant? Who is his master made ruler over his household to give them food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing. Assuredly, I say to you that he will make him ruler over all his goods. But if that evil servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming, and begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunkards, the master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him and at an hour that he is not aware of, and will cut him in two and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And those are God's words. In the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus is preaching is mostly practical. Here it is more prophetical, that is, speaking of things to come. That his church would be grounded. Why does he do this? That his church would be grounded in the truths of his word and his promises for the future, that they would not be turned aside, that they would not fret or fear what's happening around them. I won't go into, of course, all the details. There's too many to go through and what they all mean. But Jesus proclaims in verses 4 through 14 of many things that will occur in the age of the church. And the first, of course, is he prophesies of the destruction of the temple. But many other things that will occur in the age of the church here. And then through verse 35, numerous references there to the second coming of Jesus Christ and the future. And then the remaining verses, the Savior is really seeking to build up the church in preparation for these great and awful things that will take place. And very, very similar to what we heard this morning. So, beloved, in everything, we are to cling to the promises. Our hope is in the Lord and His Word. And so let us trust Him. We have to be thankful that He reveals these things to us. And we can talk at another time or look at another time what He is promising here very specifically. But let us trust Him. Let us trust Him to bring about these things just so, for His honor, for His glory and His praise, and also, as we learn, for our good. For He does all things together, brings about all things together for our good, for those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. Let's pray. Our Father, thankful that You don't leave us in the dark, that You shine a light and even to the promises of the future. Some of the things that have already taken place, some and many things that have not. And so, Father, we ask that You would watch over us and keep us from fretting, from fearing the things around us. And yet when we do, that we would remember Your promises. We would remember Your Son, Jesus Christ, who sits enthroned in glory over all things, sovereign over all things, as we've looked at very much in this year. And Father, we're thankful for Your word here, that it teaches the end of the temple very clearly. That not only is Christ's final sacrifice the death blow and the ending of the temple, but here promised that it would be destroyed, in which it has been destroyed already. And we're thankful for this, and we're thankful that all those fulfillments that are foreshadowed and promised in the temple are fulfilled in Christ Your Son. And even as we'll hear this evening, the joy that You give in our hearts through Him. And Father, this evening we do ask for Your help. We're thankful for one another again, and we're thankful that we're able to gather together. Pray for those who are unable to be with us this evening, that You would watch over them and care for them and protect them. Pray for those who are not feeling well, and even some people who are in contact with others who are not feeling well today. We ask that you would watch over them and give them strength in their bodies, even as we prayed this morning. Father, we ask that you would be glorified in all that we do. That we give thanksgiving to the good things that you've provided for us. And even, as we heard this morning, thanksgiving over the good things the government gives us. As we had, even in the rain today, roads to drive on. And requirements that we have certain types of tires that we can go through the rain. And we're thankful for this, to be here, to come and be here safely. Father, we're thankful for the rain that you provide for the land. We're thankful that as we have not had rain for a while, that you've provided ample rain today. We're thankful for this, and ask that it would be fruitful to the ground and to trees and all sorts of vegetation that is used for us, even in our food and our shade and other good things. Father, we ask that you would protect us from evil. Protect us from, as was promised in this passage, would come false teachers, false Christs, the Antichrist, and any who would try to proclaim false things and say that Christ has come when you, of course, and your Son have not. For only you know the hour, Father, and the day when Christ will return. And so, Father, we trust you. We trust your plan. That even though we might not know the exact day, the exact time, we are revealed in Scripture many things that have to happen before he returns, and we're thankful for this. And even for the fall of Babylon, or the fall of the papacy, and the many governments and many nations coming unto you. We know these things must happen before Christ returns, and so we look forward to this. And we look forward to the day when that will happen. Father, we ask that you would make us to be a people who grow in our evangelism and telling people of Jesus Christ, that we be bold and zealous to proclaim the gospel, that you would work in each one of us, all of us, not only us adults, but the children who are present also, and the children of our congregation. We pray that you would grant them faith, that they would love you, that they would see that everything in the world is vanity and is, it seems like what would satisfy, but in reality it never does. Only you in Christ your Son satisfy perfectly our souls, and we're thankful for this. And we're thankful for the promise that you satisfy your people. Father, we ask that you would make us to love your law, as we sang, that we would love your commandments, that we would seek your commandments, meditate upon your law day and night, that we would know your ways, that we would know righteousness, and we would follow after you. Because we know, as we heard, if we love you, then we will keep your commandments. Father, this is a hard calling, for we know that we are unable. We often fall in sin, and in keeping your commandments, we don't keep your commandments, and we turn from them. And even those things you forbid, we keep on doing. And we feel like Paul in Romans 7, doing those things we ought not to do, and not doing those things we ought to do. And Father, we hate sin. We long for that day when we will be perfected, and you will make us perfectly holy and blessed in your presence. And we look forward to glorification in your Son, even as you guarantee through our justification and adoption that you will sanctify us and glorify us with him. And now, Father, we pray that you would watch over us. You would help us with the word. You bless us in the hearing and preaching of the reading and preaching of your word. And your name would be exalted and glorified. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.